Hey, Merry Christmas, everyone. Wonderful to see you all. Wonderful to be able to gather with you and reflect on Jesus and hopefully encourage each other. I'd like to, on Christmas Day, I'd like to have a bit of fun to start off with. So we're going to play a bit of a game. It's mostly for the kids. But if parents want a muslin and they want a chocolate too, well, you know, I'm not going to play it. I love singing carols at Christmas, and I've got a few prizes for any kid who can run up and sing the next line. Yeah, kids, if you need to get into the alley, you know, the hallway, I don't know, the aisle, there's a word. Oh, that's okay. Because I don't want my kids to win. In fact, you guys should have to go through and come back. All right, who can finish this line? Ready? Oh, come all you faithful. No, this is not going to work. All right, you get one. Okay, yeah. All right, well done. Choose good. There's one. Yeah, you got to sing it. Come on.
Joyful and triumphant.
All right, well done. All right. Silent night, holy night. All right, adults, I think it's opened up to you. If anyone needs a chocolate. Oh, come on. No? All right, come on now. You've got to get up. There we go. Holy night.
Holy time.
Well, all right. Oh, you're going to chuck it. Sorry. All right. Half the herald angels sing.
Oh, to the right. Glory to the Lord.
Well done. All right, chuck it. All right, one more. We'll go a hard one. Ready? You got to do the whole kind of verse skip here, okay? Joy to the world, the Lord is come.
That's all my day.
All right. Yeah, there's a kid. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Now you need the whole thing. I want the whole section.
Let earth receive her King. Let every heart rejoice in me.
I got a few powerful memories of singing. Here's my favourite singing moment, okay? I was at the World Cup in 2006. Australia played Croatia. We knocked them out of the tournament. And after the final whistle, all the Aussies stayed in the stadium. You know what we're saying? Sorry for any Croatians out there. You're red, you're white, you're going home tonight, Croatia. That was our song. Anyway, it was good fun. But I think the best is when you're singing with a crowd, a song that means something, a song that's beautiful, a song of joy. And in that last verse of Joy to the World, it says, heaven and nature sing. It's this picture of all creation singing the same song. And kids, if you've got your activity books, there's a little thing there if you want to call on with the sermon, or adults if you want to steal it from them. There's just a couple of boxes. I'm going to tell you when you can fill them in. But there's your first box, kids. It's a song that's sung by the mountains, by the wind and the waves, by the flowers. You can draw nature singing, maybe your favorite animal or something like that. But the lyrics come from Isaiah 49. Particularly verse 13. And I'm going to walk us through Isaiah 49 today with a question. What is it that heaven and nature is singing? What are they singing about? Now, Isaiah 49, it's a song. It's one of Isaiah's songs of the servant. And it's a song that someone wants you to hear. You look at verse 1, we're told, listen to me, you islands, the singer says. Hear this, you distant nations. You know, the fascinating thing. Here is a song written about 2,800 years ago, so 800 years even before the first Christmas in the Middle East, but it's actually written for distant nations like us, for Australians, for you. But who's singing it to us? Well, there's a few clues. Look at verse 1 and 2. He had a name before he was born. He was concealed for a time, hidden in shadows. He's like an arrow in a quiver. But what do you do with arrows? What's the point of an arrow? Well, you shoot them at a target. The servant, this servant, has a purpose. Now, there's your second box, kids. If you can keep up, you're drawing an arrow and a bullseye. But what's the target? Well, it's verse 3. The servant will display the splendor. Now, that word means the wonder, the beauty, the glory of God. This servant is giving us an epic song, like a movie score. And in verse 3, the identity of this servant is revealed. It's Israel. Now, maybe that's a bit confusing for you. You're like, hang on, just some Christmas sermon. Those clues in verse 1 and 2, if you're thinking about it, you know, the expectation is, of course, that this is going to be Jesus. Jesus is the servant. But it says Israel. Well, actually, you're right, it's Jesus. Think about this. Do those clues in verse 1 and 2, do they make most sense if they a group of people, like a nation of Israel? Or do they sound like a single person? Well, I'd suggest a single person. And actually, I think Matthew's gospel gives us reason to think that's right. In chapter 2, Jesus has been born. His parents are warned by God, take him away to Egypt to avoid being killed by Herod. And the narrator, Matthew, he says, and so was fulfilled what the Lord said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. That is a bit interesting. He's quoting from Hosea 11. But in Hosea 11, it's God saying this through his prophet to Israel. But now Matthew says, actually, it's about Jesus. Well, what's going on there? Well, I think what Jesus is saying is that, what Matthew's saying, sorry, is that Jesus is Israel. Not the whole nation of Israel, but Israel was born to be God's son, made to display God's splendor. But in Isaiah's time and in Hosea's time, Israel thoroughly fails to do it. So God promises a new Israel, that a new son is going to be born to display his splendor. And this is Jesus, God's servant. So in Isaiah 49, guess who's speaking to you? Who is it that calls you to listen? It's actually Jesus, God the Son, if we want to be more technical. The servant who is singing to you a song about himself. Forget Ed Sheeran, Jesus is the songwriter here. But it begins as a sad song. And you look at verse 4. I've labored in vain. I've spent my strength for nothing at all. What's he talking about here? Well, the answer is in verse 5. How is Jesus going to show the glory of God? Well, it was by bringing the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, back to God. And if you know anything of the story of Jesus after his birth, you know there's a tragic nature to it. The very people that God came to save, that Jesus came to save and serve, will actually reject him. They'll listen to his teachings. They'll see his miracles. They'll be amazed. And yet in the end, they'll cheer at his arrest. They'll jeer as he went to the cross. They didn't come back to God. They rejected God's servant. What do kids say about rain sometimes? Rain is God's tears. Now, that's not literally true, kids, but there is a sadness to the servant's song. You can draw rain falling down on the bag of Jesus. Well, if it was going to rain hard, now would be the time. Anyway, but you notice what Jesus says back in verse 4. My reward, though, is with God. Verse 5, I'm honored in the eyes of the Lord. My God has seen my strength. Just see this piece, right? Jesus is rejected by his people. This tragedy, this sadness. He feels like he's laboring in vain. But on another level, his reward is with God. He's honored in the eyes of the Lord. Here's a little Christmas teach from Jesus. There is a sad nature to our world. And it is, part of that is that we often labor in vain. Many of us work with no acknowledgement of the pain that causes, the kindness that we show, the care we give to others. So often the things we do actually result in so little. You pour yourself, you give all your energy to a thing, and yet the result is labor in vain. You feel like you're getting nowhere? I think many of us can sing a sad song to ourselves every now and then. A song of grief. Nobody cares. Nobody sees. I'm getting nowhere. Why bother? Can I tell you that Jesus knows those verses well? But he shows us there's a bridge to the servant's song. In spite of all that, his reward is not from the people. It's from the God who sees, who knows, who honors, and who gives strength. Friends, here is a wonderful reality, that there is a God who sees. If you labor for the Lord, if you find your honor, your strength, and reward in him, then there is a strength that comes from this, a strength that enables you to keep working, to keep serving. Jesus found his strength to serve, even to the point of coming into our sad world and dying an unjust death on the cross. Here's Jesus' little reminder and teaching. If you serve or seek the recognition of people, or if you work for the rewards of this world, ultimately I reckon you will burn out. But if you follow Jesus by finding your reward with God in his life, there's joy to be had. But see a bigger picture. I was hearing about a band called Dire Straits, if you're old enough to remember them. Their first hit song, it wasn't initially a hit. In the UK, in their hometown, no one liked them. But someone heard the song in Holland, of all places, put it on the radio, and all of a sudden it became massively popular in countries outside the UK. God is going to take this sad song of Jesus' rejection, and he's going to make it better. He's going to turn grief to joy, vanity to hope. In verse 6, it's too small a thing, he says, to restore the tribes of Israel. Jesus is going to be a light for the Gentiles. That's all the people who are not Jewish, the distant nations. God's salvation is going to reach to the ends of the earth. There you go, kids. Have a crack at that one. It's a hard one. You can probably quote. See if you can do it. God is going to save a new people, gather a nation, a new Israel, out of all the people of all the nations. In fact, the servant who was despised, kings are going to acknowledge him. Princes will bow down to him. Verse 8, this servant's going to be a new agreement between God and his people, a new covenant. Through this servant, God is going to restore the land. Verse 9, he's going to rescue those captive to darkness. Verse 10, these people will neither hunger nor thirst. They'll be guided by God to springs of water. He'll make their paths simple. You see what this servant is going to do. He's going to change the world's song. Jesus sings to a people stuck in vanity, whose rhythm and song has become discordant, distorted, who are fumbling around in spiritual darkness, enslaved to things like consumerism, held captive to false ideologies, to anger, to selfishness, to anxiety and confusion. He sings to a people captive to a song that doesn't make any sense anymore and that's out of tune with our natural rhythm. I wonder if you're feeling some of that this Christmas, whether it's because of the events at Bondi or maybe some things much closer to home. The Bible calls it the problem of sin. And you'll see it. You'll probably see it today. You'll see it over your Christmas activities. You'll see it in selfishness, whether it's yours or others. You'll see it in the overconsumption. You'll see it in the cognitive dissonance that is complaining about the presents that we get. Eating more than we should, drinking more than we should when people are starving in the world and have nothing. You'll see it in the grief as families are brought together and blow up over old wounds. Or as the lonely look on, wishing they even had a family to blow up with. You'll see it in the fakeness, whether it's the companies on Boxing Day trying to sell you things that they say are ethical and that they care about things like that. But actually, all they care about is profit. But this servant sings to those who are captive to these things. He sings, come out. To those in the darkness, be free. Back in Isaiah 9, this is building on Isaiah 9, the prophet announced, those living in a land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. There you go, kids. There's your gift box. The story of Christmas is this. Long lay the world in sin and error pining. until the servant's son was born. Into the grief, into the vanity, into the broken melody of our world to come and change our tune. And what Jesus does is he invites us into a new song with him. Instead of a song of vanity, he sings a song of hope, a song of restoration. These are the promises of what the servant will do for those he gathers, for those who turn to him. It's the promise of true blessing. It's the compassion of God, of joy in the world, a way out of the darkness and into the light. Friends, if you're visiting with us today, here is the ballad of our world. It's that God has created all things to be like he is, to be light, to be good, to be glorious. That's his rhythm. It wasn't to be sadness. It wasn't to be grief. It wasn't to be fakeness or selfishness or shootings or racism. But our world went dark. Humans chose darkness over the light. We thought it would make us happier. Instead, we plunged into this grief and battle. But God hasn't left us in our sorry state. Instead, he sends his son, Jesus Christ, to be born as a servant, to disrupt, to change the chords from minors to majors, from grief to joy, from darkness back to light. And this Jesus accomplished by living a holy life among us and by dying on a cross for the forgiveness of our sins. On the third day, he's raised from the dead by the power of God as the crescendo of God's servant's song. And here is the conclusion. Jesus calls us all. The servant calls us to listen and to believe, to put our hope and trust in him. He calls us into a new song together with him, a song of new beginnings. To his afflicted ones, he says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. Come and I will give you rest. I will give you a song of hope. Will you listen? This is the song that Kevin and Nature sing. Kids, there's your last drawing. Same as the first, but put yourself in. Put the people you think of in. It's a beautiful song. It's not a song about sex or money or about hate or anger. It's a song about God's compassion on his children. It's a song about the splendor of God. This is the song that Jesus wants you to sing with him. To make the song of your life, the beat that you walk to, the rhythm you live by. Will you join with heaven and nature and shout with joy? Will you be united with Jesus in his song? There are songs that can brighten your day. Can I suggest to you that there is a song that will change the tune of your life? If you are visiting with us today and you don't know exactly what that looks like, I'm speaking in abstracts, of course, but if you don't know what it looks like to sing with and be united with Jesus in his song, but you want to find out there, can I encourage you, keep coming along to Village. Come and learn how to sing Jesus' song in your life. We're here every Sunday at 4 p.m., and this is what we do. We explore that. Every week, we explore something more of what it looks like to sing with Jesus. But for all of us, here is my hope for today. I hope that Isaiah 49 would remind you of why we can sing, of why we can truly sing with joy, why we can join with heaven and nature and sing joy to the world. It's because the Lord has come. It's because the servant has come to his afflicted ones. My prayer is that that would be your tune today. And no matter what your Christmas looks like, that you would have joy as you dance and sing the song of the servant. Heaven, I pray that we would. Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, with gratitude in our hearts. Lord, that in our need, in our darkness, you have come. You sent your son to be our servant. Father, would we see that today? Would we see it so clearly? And Lord, would we dance to that tune, a song of joy? Would we sing even now as we sing these next songs? Would we sing full-heartedly? Because of what Jesus has done for us, of what it means that we get joined with you in these songs.
In Jesus' name, amen.